morning, Monday, March 8th, 2010. Seth Leibson here with Catherine Lopez. That's Jerry Rafferty. If you get it wrong, you'll get it right next time. I guess that could be the theme song for the Democrats in healthcare right now. Tevi Troy is the former deputy director of former deputy secretary of Health and Human Services and a senior visiting fellow at the Hudson Institute. Good morning, Tevi.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Tevi.
Hey.
So, healthcare, is this whole Obamacare revolution happening or not? We've heard Easter, then yesterday, I think I heard pullback from Standing Order. Seth and I were talking this morning, and we were struck by sort of the uncertainty. The Democrats and the media don't seem to even know how to spin this. What's your feel?
Well, my feel is the date doesn't matter. I mean, you and I, Catherine, know because I've written a lot of stuff for you on this about how they keep giving us new dates, new deadlines. It must happen by this day. It must happen by that day.
Harry Reid had so many compromises in the works for months now, right?
Right. And so the date doesn't matter. I mean, if Nancy Pelosi had the vote, she would vote today. So she doesn't have the vote. They're trying to get it through. They don't have the votes because the bill is a mess. You know, reconciliation doesn't really matter whether it's reconciliation or not. This is a bill that is unpopular, that will not solve the problems they say they're going to solve, will raise costs for people, and is extremely problematic. The American people are nervous. The House Democrats, who are, you know, the blue dog types, are very nervous about this, and that's why they can't get it through.
And yet the leadership is defiant. They still want to push it through. Why is that? And why more so, and this is what concerns me, why do they think they can twist the arms of Democrats enough to make them vote for it?
Well, I think one is the message that Bill Clinton was selling early on, which is, look, in 94, the reason people lost under me is because you guys in Congress failed to pass something. So if you had passed something, then the voters would be more forgiving. But I don't think that's the case. I think the voters don't like the fact that they're pushing through an unpopular and very unwieldy and problematic bill.
And Rich Lowry made this point on Meet the Press, National Review's editor, yesterday. They may pass something, but their own caucus isn't happy about it. So it's going to be subject to debate for years to come as people figure out how unwieldy and complicated this whole thing is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, and this is something that I've been trying to sell, which is that healthcare is not a good deal for the Democrats. Since this Harris-Wofford race in 1991, when Harris-Wofford upset the Attorney General Dick Thornburg in the Bush administration in the Senate race for Pennsylvania, they've been saying, the Democrats have been saying, this is the greatest issue for us ever. We love this issue. This is a cudgel for us to beat the Republicans with. And every time they try and run up the hill with it, it's like Pickett's charge at the Gettysburg at the Battle of Gettysburg. I mean, the issue doesn't work for them, and they don't see it.
Tevi, so many of the critics of the legislation right now are focusing on this R word, reconciliation. My feeling is that I'm a Washington dork, and even my eyes glaze over when people start talking about reconciliation. Is that a winning debating point? Is it a legitimate debating point?
No, it's a big loser. I mean, the reason I think the Republicans were pushing reconciliation early is because there is an element of hypocrisy that the Democrats screamed bloody murder and the Republicans used it in the past. And the Republicans, I think, felt that maybe they could get either a Harry Byrd to say, oh, we're not going to do this, or a Ken Conrad to say, we're not going to do this, because they were sort of protectors of the purity of the reconciliation process. But you know these guys are more partisan than they are purists. So once Reid and Conrad both said in somewhat public forums, Byrd in his local paper and Conrad in the Washington Post, that, you know, they think reconciliation is just fine and dandy with them as long as it's for their purposes, then I think reconciliation is no longer a winner issue, and I don't think it's something we should focus on. It's like Bob Dole in the 96 campaign when, you know, people would ask him what you think about this issue, and he'd talk about some filibuster vote that he overcame or some narrow Senate procedure. I mean, you've got to talk big issues to the American people. Reconciliation is not one.
Is your sense that Paul Ryan, for instance, has been a critic? He's been he's taken on the president. He takes on Peter Orszag, it seems, a couple times a day. Is that the way to go to debate this issue on substantive points, going line by line? Do the American people want to hear line by line?
Well, you know, it could be if everybody was as talented as Paul Ryan. The problem is, you know, a lot of our guys and a lot of guys on the other side can't do it. I mean, you look at the Democrats in the summit, they were talking about, you know, generalities and tragic stories of people with the wrong dentures and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it takes a special kind of talent like Paul Ryan to really get into the weeds of it and show how wrong the Democrats are on a lot of these issues. But I do agree with you with the larger point that substance is the way to fight this bill and not this narrow reconciliation procedural stuff.
Hey, Tevi, thanks. I agree a lot with what you're saying. Can I take a call with you? Bob from Tallahassee wanted to join in on this discussion with a comparison. Go ahead, Bob. You're on with Dr. Tevi Troy.
Hi, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Hey, a while ago when the president was doing his dog and pony show during the middle of the week with everybody, one of the comments he made was that sale of health insurance across state lines, a lot of people have been asking for that, and that would increase competition, but he wasn't for it because his comment was that the insurance companies will kind of migrate to the states with the weaker state regulations regarding insurance. Well, my question is this. When the banks were forced to make the mortgage loans plus, you know, like everybody was getting credit cards, be it your dog, be it your kindergartner, whoever. What did the credit card companies and the banks do? They bundled the debt, didn't they? And then they sold it in bonds. And who bought the bonds? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So, I mean, the same organization that he is trying to say is going to fix the problem is what? One of the major contributors still.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a big problem on the Democratic line about what happened with the whole housing crisis. I mean, you know, they say it's the, you know, this free reign, no government system that created it, which is, you know, is patently nonsensical. I mean, it's clear that, you know, Freddie and Fannie, which are government sponsored entities, were a key part of the problem. But on this cross state lines thing, I mean, that's an issue that really resonates with the American people. People know that if you could purchase cross state lines, that would increase your market by 50 because you've got a lot more options to buy insurance. And one of the things that frustrates people about our insurance market is you go to certain states and there's only one or two options. Well, let people buy across state lines. Give them more choice.
Tevi, if you were to help craft thinking points, not talking points, but thinking points about the current legislation pending between the Senate and the House, what are your top two or three objections to it?
Well, the cost.
Yeah.
It's serious. The question of whether, I mean, cost in terms of outlays is one thing. I mean, it spends a lot of money on these subsidies for people all the way up to about like 400% of poverty. So it's spending a lot of money on a lot of people. But the second is the underlying cost. I mean, what are we going to do to resolve the issue of high costs? And you know, there's the Republican alternative that I know the Democrats are always deriding because it didn't cover enough people. But the Republican alternative actually reduces the cost of insurance plans.
Can I pause you right there? I'm sorry to interrupt. Let's stop right there, because when we did start the health care debate back in February and March of last year, the idea was to bend the cost curve down, right? We just heard that phrase over and over again. The legislation we see now does really very little, if anything, on that, right? If anything, actually, it may increase the cost curve. Is that not correct?
That's what I think. I think the argument that the Democrats are making on this is they say, well, we try a lot of things and we're going to see what works. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really cutting the cost curve down. That's, you know, throwing spaghetti to the wall and seeing if something sticks.
Okay. All right. And then and what would you tell the American people right now who are looking for a new system of health insurance and have problems because of a pre-existing condition or have problems because their premiums are too high? What would you tell them right now about the current legislation that the president and the Democrats are trying to put forward? How does this address them, positively, negatively?
Look, I mean, it clearly is addressed to try and help those people's problems,
right.
But I think ultimately it won't do it, and I feel terrible for people who have that issue, because it is a real serious issue, and the insurance companies are certainly no good actor here. And I think the Republicans make a mistake if people even think that the Republicans are, you know, doing this on behalf of the insurance companies. So I think the Republicans don't really owe the insurance companies anything, and I think that they have been a bad actor in this whole situation. But that said, I think you need to come up with some provisions that lower the cost for everybody. And that make more of a clear and transparent market, that give people more of an ability to make choices in the system and use the power of consumerism to drive down costs in the system.
Tell us, you have proposed something called the small bill. We have posted it at BillBennett.com. Tell us the key elements of that.
Yeah, this is something that Jeff Anderson and I have worked on together, and it basically talks about this notion of, you know, allowing consumers to have more choices. It promotes health savings accounts. It does allow people to purchase across state lines. It has a tax credit to help people purchase insurance who truly can't afford it. And it's just sort of a good series of simple steps that could be done pretty quickly and probably on a bipartisan basis that would really help solve the problems we have.
So I want to direct people there, BillBennett.com. They can see this plan Tevi and his colleague have proposed, which I think is a simple and good plan that gets us there without cost, without breaking the bank, and without having a government expansion, more bureaucracy, more cost, less choice. I think Tevi has done a very good job with that, and I want to recommend that. What are your you've been on the Hill, you've been in the White House, you've run an agency. Tevi, what is your prediction right now, percentages? I know we always do this with you, and, you know, we aren't going to hold you to it strictly, but what would you say right now this looks like passing? What chances are you giving it?
Oh, I think they got about a 35% chance there.
Really?
Lower than what it used to be?
Yeah.
No kidding. And why is that? Because they have made such a hodgepodge here?
Just because, you know, they've got one shot to get this right, and if they don't get it, and they don't have the votes now, it's going to be very tough for them. Right, Catherine, you kind of groaned. Do you think it's higher or lower?
No. I probably do agree with you. I hate making predictions, so I don't even know what my groaning was about.
Right.
But do you think that the Democratic leadership knows that right now, and they're just going for broke and gonna see where they wind up regardless, or do you think that they don't have a sense of reality in there?
Well,
they're going to be.
You're in the middle of fighting a battle, or you're in a sports, mm-hmm. you're in a sports contest, and you're against an opponent that's probably going to win. I mean, you still fight and push, and
right.
I think if they put enough bribes out there, enough bridges, enough roads, enough whatevers, they think they can convince the people. And it's not like they have 100 votes. I mean, they're probably close to 200 votes, and they need 216.
Right.
So, you just keep pushing it. Maybe they'll get it.
Tevi Troy, thank you very much. Will you stay close to us this week?
You got it.
Appreciate it. Tevi
Thanks,
Troy
Tevi.
Of the Hudson Institute, former Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services. Look at his plan at BillBennett.com. Coming back with your calls, Danny, Jeff.